Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's always a pleasure to continue to be with you every year, every day and week and month and year. Now in our 12th year, we do this every weekday. Just a couple of hours every weekday, and always a pleasure. We got some really good stuff lined up for you in the half hour straight ahead. Steve DelBianco is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is Vice President of Corporate Affairs for the Association of Competitive Technology. He's also the President of NetChoice.org, and he's been traveling a lot lately because he's one of the guys that works really hard for you and me to make sure that you and I have access to the internet in an unfettered way, which is what we should have. And he's been having to fight a little bit extra hard lately. He and the folks who are on his in his army, and he's here to give us a report on that. Steve DelBianco, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Yeah, I've been on the road, four of the last 6 weeks, and a lot of it has been out working in world governance forums to try to make sure the internet stays safe for capitalism.
Tell us where you've been.
That's a harder task than you might think, right?
Well, a lot of people they don't even think that there's a battle going on right now, but there really is. But before we get into that, tell us where you've been.
Oh, right. I was in Cairo, Egypt for ICANN's meeting, the Internet Corporation for Sign Names and Numbers.
Right.
And then from there to Australia, where problems are just beginning to pop up. And then 2 weeks ago, I was in India, despite the whole Mumbai concerns that folks had.
You were there after Mumbai, right?
That's right. We left the day after.
Wow.
The shooting occurred, and we were in a different part of India, and it's a big country, and I felt completely safe there.
Yeah.
Safe at least from, say, the physical harm associated with terrorist attack, but I still don't feel as if we're going to be safe on the internet as we continue to innovate and provide new content, new ways of doing business.
Most people are wandering around on the internet today, right now, as my dad used to would say, fat, dumb, and happy, you know, enjoying the benefits of an unfettered internet, coming and going as they please, paying their $39 a month to connect, and just having all kinds of fun on the internet, and without realizing that there are forces at work around the globe, ladies and gentlemen, political forces and corporate forces that have plans. They have their own plans for what they think the internet should look like, and it is not what you and I see today. Am I right about that, Steve?
No, you're right, Jim. And think about what happened. The Department of Defense, right, DOD, the U.S. government, over a dozen years ago came up with a couple of basic protocols, TCP/IP, that would help the internet work. But really, it was the private sector and academia that took it from there. They developed additional protocols like HTML, that would sit on top of it. They developed software, mm-hmm. both for the computers, like browsers and for servers, mm-hmm. hardware that worked on the internet and routers, bridges and modems, cabling, the cabling that carries internet all over the planet, and then finally content and commerce. And
what about email and all that? I mean, these are other applications.
That's exactly right.
Other applications of the World Wide Web.
Or instant messaging, chat.
Right.
And how
mm-hmm.
about downloading video, music,
right.
movies, concepts like voice over IP, all of these are applications built on that platform, and they're all applications that were built, invented, and funded by the private sector.
Is it sort of, can you think of it like, okay, on any given day going down an interstate, you got a truck carrying, you know, pickup truck carrying, you know, something for a small business, you got a van carrying something for, you know, for somebody else. You got an 18-wheeler carrying a load somewhere. You got grandma going to the doctor's office. You got the family going on vacation. You got all these different things going on over the same highway.
That's right.
And they all have access to that highway equally. And that's what we have right now, basically, on the internet, isn't it?
It is, and the analogy goes one step further, because it's not the government that built the highway. It's the private sector that built the highway, too, as well as the trucks and vans and everything that's on it. So the private sector has built the Internet up. It serves a little over 1.4 billion people on the planet today, and we've spent about $1 trillion building out the cabling and infrastructure to make the Internet available. So with all that excitement and content on the Internet, something as important as the Internet was bound to get the attention of governments in the United Nations. So in 2005, the UN really sat up and took notice and said, anything as important as the Internet, I think governments ought to be running it.
Right.
And therein lies the story for why it was in Cairo.
And they really are taking a hardline attitude about this, ladies and gentlemen. I've been reporting this. Steve has been on the show reporting on this now for actually a number of years. We've been trying to perk up your ears a little bit so you can pay attention. And we're going to talk some more about this, let you know about some of the other dangers and what you and I can do about it. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, a small business advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. That's our knowledge base. And, of course, my blog is jimsblog.biz. But the mothership, the flagship website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, that's where you can find, if you can just get there, you'll find everything else. You get to the blog, you can get to the knowledge base, and all the other things we do here, the Brain Trust, the articles, all the things that our Brain Trust members contribute to helping us help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And I want to make sure you don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. So check all that out. Of course, the show is simulcast there from the website. It's the replays are there. We got a brand new, all new technology, lots of new technology there that will help you have a better experience as you use the stuff that we have. So I hope you'll check all that out. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Steve Del Bianco is with us. He's vice president with the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org, right, Steve?
That's right.
And also netchoice.org. Is that correct?
That's right, Jim.
Okay.
And you were talking about your own website, and it's truly a treasure trove of wisdom and content dating back almost, what, 10 years, Jim?
97. Oh, we're in our 12th year of the website.
12th year. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Steve. So I want to come back. Steve's been, folks, as we said earlier, Steve's been going to these global meetings on Internet governance. And who are the big enemies of freedom of the Internet, of unfettered Internet? Steve, is the UN the big enemy? Are they the big the Darth Vaders of the Internet?
The UN is a house divided, Jim. It has one aspect of the UN that is into development, economic development, and political freedom, and then another part of it is into command and control, and that's the International Telegraphic Union. Dates back to the telegraph days, and it's called the ITU. So, if you want to know who the players are, it's
now when you
the
call
UN
it the union. When you call it a union, explain union to us. What is that?
Not a labor union, not at all.
Okay, all right.
It's a union of governments, and you think about it, it's a treaty-based organization. I mean, there are no treaties on the internet today. I decide to put my content on the internet. You decide to put up smallbusinessadvocate.com, and there are contracts that govern the way we interact with our internet service providers. Contracts that govern the way I would use your content. But there aren't treaties. See, treaties are only done among governments.
Right.
So if you've got a flag, right, if you're a government and you have a flag, you get to vote at the UN. But if you don't have a flag, not allowed to vote. So the UN and their approach is that governments speak for all of their citizens, and they know what's best for their citizens. So governments and governments alone make the decisions. So in 2005... United Nations convened this giant world summit on the information society and said, if the Internet's this important, we've got to run it. And they created the Tunis Agenda to set up an Internet governance forum to enhance the amount of cooperation that governments can impose upon this private sector-led Internet. And we're now three and a half years into that process, And these meetings all around the world are places where those of us from the private sector go to try to talk some reason into those who would want the internet to be governed by governments, and we try to invite those governments to participate in the governing bodies we already have. Things
right.
like ICANN, where governments can sit at the table and help us to sort out the problems, to try to solve mm-hmm. problems about phishing and farming and spam and cyber squatting.
Well, if the internet is basically has been developed and is owned by the private sector, and if we're not asking them for any TARP money, how can the governments take it away from us?
Excellent point. They can actually impose rules about who manages the domain name system and the infrastructure.
Because they do control the airways, the wireless airways, don't they, in their countries?
Very little. Most of the time, it's Spectrum that is then licensed to private companies to use. That's the same way we do it here in the United States.
But they control that Spectrum, though, right? I mean, they say they believe that they control those Spectrums originally, right?
Our government does as well. Our government controls the Spectrum, but they license it out or auction it off for license purposes so that AT&T and Verizon can use bits of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is we feel like governments are a player. They're a stakeholder at helping to use the internet, not only for e-gov, right, so that you and I can renew
right.
our motor vehicle registration, but governments also play a role because they are responsible for law enforcement. Only the government can put a criminal behind bars because he was defrauding people using the internet.
Right.
So we want governments to be our partner in maintaining the integrity of the internet.
So how do we create this? How do we make this partnership work, though, in a way that it doesn't become fettered by government incompetency, which may be redundant.
Well, true. But listen, even if the government's incompetent, it often seeks to control speech. And when you say unfettered, what I hope a lot of people hear in the back of their minds is that the government would like to control what people see. It's called censorship.
Mm-hmm.
And on the internet, China, for instance, among other nations, and to some extent Brazil, and even most recently in Italy, where the government has said that there's a certain kind of speech they don't like. It's often speech that's critical of the government.
Right.
And the internet provides mechanisms for governments to shut down that speech, to track down people that have posted critical blogs about a government. And what we want to do is maintain the anonymity of the internet, but at the same time, help law enforcement track down people that are committing
crimes. So you want a partnership between governments and industry and private the private sector in a way that makes that each one does the thing that they're appropriate that's appropriate for them to do.
Exactly.
All right, hold on to that thought. When we come back, Steve's going to help you and me go to a place where we can let our voices be known about this, ladies and gentlemen. And we might even tackle net neutrality a little bit when we come back. Tintail, stay with us.
Do it or die now. Stand your ground. Don't let your
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend Steve Del Bianco, Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. That's ACT. Online.org, ACTonline.org, and of course also there another companion website is netchoice.org. And Steve, give us a quick commercial on both of those.
Right, and some of the most productive visits you can make on the internet is to check out blogs that are always more current. And the blog at NetChoice, it's called blog.netchoice.org, or you can get there from netchoice.org. is where I'm posting, two or three times a week, something to really get your attention, something to capture why you ought to pay attention to the kind of work we're doing in internet governance circles around the world. So please check out the blog at NetChoice, and I think you'll see what Jim and I are talking about today on the show.
And so, yeah, check that out, folks. And Steve, in these meetings, now you've gone to three in a couple of months. You got to three more at least to go to in 2009. Do you feel like that now that you've gotten into these, I mean, you've been reporting on this with us now for several
years. 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a time when you didn't have enough perspective about where this thing was going, that you couldn't have told us how you thought it was going to turn out. In fact, I remember a time when I felt you were kind of frightened about how things might turn out. But at now 3-4 years into this thing, now that you participated in all of these, you've heard all the rhetoric and all the shrillness and the reason. What do you think? Do you think you got a chance to make a difference?
I know we've made a difference, and it's not just at the meetings, but it's what happens between the meetings, the kind of relationships that you build. For instance, I now feel very friendly with Brazil's representative, Brazil's government representative to ICANN and the IGF. And when you get outside of the formal confines of a big meeting where people raise flags before they speak, you can really start to discover things that you have in common. And I'm going to invite the Brazilian government to participate on a panel I'm doing in January. And we're really trying to break down some of those bridges, some of those barriers between government and the private sector. So I think we're making progress there. But don't forget, the Internet has become more and more vital to the way a government controls the information that gets to its citizenry. So governments that have anything to fear from a disgruntled democracy or disgruntled citizens, they want to control the Internet more than ever.
You know, but
the stakes are higher, Jim.
But, you know, Steve, I want you to talk to them about Frederick Bastiat sometime. These people who are being recalcitrant, who are being troublemakers, I want you to remind them, because, see, this is nothing short of a war that is being fought right now for the Internet, it seems to me. Maybe, I don't think I'm overstating that. And I want you to remind them what Bastiat said. The French, the 19th century French economist said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." Let's work this out so that we're spending more time finding out how we can trade on the Internet instead of how we can fight on the Internet. What do you think?
Right, and I think that between nations, gosh, the Internet really does break down barriers. Mm-hmm. In the case of our enemies, it might actually give them a chance to interfere with our communications in a time of war. But the Internet itself breaks down barriers between nations. But it does create choke points for information within your borders. Remember, the Chinese government uses their choke point on the Internet to control speech within China.
Yeah.
It's really not about China interfering with other governments.
And what about companies that give into that, like Google did? And I guess Yahoo, maybe. I'm not sure.
Jim, I really think that when a nation imposes laws, like the United States has laws, and if a foreign company comes to do business in the United States, they've got to live by U.S. law. And if they don't live by U.S. law, we'll throw them in jail or throw them out.
But we have free speech
China
here in the United States.
China has the same opinion about Google. Like China's government claims, and I don't agree with them for a minute, but they claim they want to control the kind of speech that goes on the Internet in China.
Yeah.
And if there's content coming into China, coming from the Google or YouTube website, and Chinese government says, we're going to shut it all down,
because it's derogatory to their government.
Right. It's their right to do that. We don't think it's right, but it's their right to do that.
Right.
And then if you're Google, you say, look, I can either take down the page that they hate,
mm-hmm.
or I can be dark. I can be dark in China. Oh, so there's well over a billion people.
So you're
no
saying
saying
discretion is the better part of valor.
Exactly, Jim. And don't forget this, that if you defy that government, don't be surprised when the government shuts down access to your entire website, not just that page that offended them.
Mm-hmm. So what they wound up with from Google was better than for the populace than going dark, as you say, and I see that point. You know, we didn't get to net neutrality. Will you come back again real soon? We got
to
talk about that.
I want you to
give us an update on that. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. ActOnline.org and NetChoice.org, and that's where you can also find your blog at NetChoice.org. Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great holiday.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for your leadership, too, by the way. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.